Okay, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And last week we talked about, you know, how we don't walk according to how the Gentiles walked, who are in the futility of their mind. They're darkened and excluded from life because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. And they have been given over to sensuality, they give themselves over to that. And so what they are... What we talked about is the idea of, you know, the bump in the road, someone may mess it up, is not what it's talking about in a lot of times in this situation here even. They've practiced that so long that that's what they've become. It's not that God can't save the person in, he has no power to forgive the sins, it's that that person is not going to repent, and that's why God can't save, because God doesn't do things against the will of individuals. And so... We talked about that. So now Paul is turning a little bit into, on a positive sense of this, and how to prevent it maybe a little bit, and how to not just prevent it, but how to grow. And so I want to read Ephesians 4, 20 through 21, please. Okay, so we didn't learn Christ in this way. And so he's talking about that, first off, there's a particular way that you didn't learn Christ in the way to just be, you know, walk in the same way. That's not what it was. It's not something, we kind of touched on this lately too. We don't just stay the same after we become a Christian. That's not how God set it up. God didn't we're just going to save you, and then you can keep doing the same exact things as you did before. And that's not what he said. That's what he said. You didn't learn Christ in this way. You're not still walking according to that way. You're not still walking the same path that you were before. And so in verse 21, if indeed you have heard him, have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. So there is the truth. And let's turn over to John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Then I'll make that point in a second here. But we're looking for where the truth is. And in verse 6, someone read verse 6 of John 14, please.
Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
Okay. So, when you look at in the Greek, okay. So when he's saying there, I am the way. And what that word "I am" is used, or that word is "I exist" or "I am." And when it's the same word that Jesus uses in John 8, when the Pharisees are like, "Well, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham." When he says, "Before Abraham was," he says, "I am." And in the context, if you stop there, you don't really understand what he's saying, but they pick up stones and they're going to stone him because he says, "I am," referring back to when Moses is before the burning bush, and he says, "Well, who should I say that sent me?" And God says, "Tell him that I am sent you." And so they were stoned. They were going to try and stone Jesus because he was claiming to be God. What he's saying there is that I am the way. I exist the way. He is God, but there is... That is the only way, and the only truth, and the only way to have life is through Jesus to go in order to get to the Father. That's the only way that someone gets to the Father. Now, we picked on Catholics and Lutherans enough. Joel Osteen here, he's not a Catholic or Lutheran. He's a, I don't know what you want to call him, big Pentecostal guy. Anyway, so he'll say, take this verse and say that, Because he draws lines, maybe. But he'll say, instead of Jesus is the only way, he'll say, I think Jesus is the only way, but there's many other ways to Jesus. And that's how he tries to roll it off, is that, well, you can still believe that way, and that's how you get to Jesus, that's how you get to the Father. Okay? Where Jesus is saying that is that, hey, it's not that there's different ways. There's not the Buddhist way is not the way. The Muslim way is not the way. The whatever other way is not the way. The Catholic way is not the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. And there's not multiple ways to Jesus. I mean, yeah, there's not multiple ways to Jesus. Because even if someone is going to be obedient, we talked, repentance has to start prior. If someone doesn't even care about what they're doing, they're not even more, you know, don't even care if they want to change, why are they going to be obedient? Repentance starts prior to someone being a Christian, because repentance is that change of mind. That's what that word means. It's a change of mind. So that change of mind is already starting prior to someone becoming a Christian. And so Jesus is saying there that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one truth. There is one way that Jesus talks about here. There's not multiple ways that Jesus talks about. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Someone want to read verse 46, please. So the question is, and this is something that should be asked to a lot of people, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, but you're not even doing what I say? Why, you know, that repentance hasn't even begun. You're claiming that I'm your Lord, is what he's saying. You call me that, but you don't do what I say. You're not obeying me. If I'm really your master, you should be obeying me. You should be wanting to do what I say. And that's when we're talking about whatever it is, and even about repentance prior to becoming a Christian, the repentance is starting that change of mind. Is that, well, hey, this path I'm on is not good, or however that starts. And so that change of mind is happening, and then they're becoming obedient, because I want to do that. I don't want to stay going this course. And a lot of people, obviously still in this day, the Jews were classic. I mean, our father's God. And then if they really wanted to emphasize it, well, Abraham's our father. And they were relying on, oh yeah, we do this, we're God's children or whatever. And in John 8, that's what Jesus says, is that you're really not God's children. If you were God's children, you listen to me and what I say, but you're not, you're sons of the devil is what you are, is what he says. Because they don't want to, they didn't do what God says. They claimed that they did. And people in the day, when Jesus makes a statement, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and chief priests, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And people are marvel at that, like, man, how is that possible? Those guys are righteous. Man, you see them on the corner, you see them giving the alms, and those guys are righteous. That's what that's what they perceived. And Jesus says, if you don't surpass their righteousness, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. So they claimed to serve the true Lord. They claimed to be children of God, but they weren't obedient. They didn't care what he said. They had their own ideas and their own traditions. And so that's when we're looking at, when we're transitioning from the thought of, okay, so we don't walk in the same way as we used to walk, and now we're transitioning. What does that look like? Well, obedience to Jesus is probably a good first start. I mean, that's obviously something that has to happen to have that transformation process, or to have that transformation. Turn to back to Ephesians 4. Any comments before we move on? Okay, Ephesians 4, someone read verse 22 then. Okay, Paul has emphasized, hey, you've learned Christ in the right way. Now you lay aside the old self. You don't continue in that. Now, how that looks, it starts somewhere, but there still is going to be something that a choice that we're going to have to make daily. But go turn to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to see how this starts first. Lay aside. And if you look in that Greek word, as you turn over to Romans 6, when he's talking about that there in Ephesians 4:22, really a little bit more correct, or little different Greek. He's saying, lay aside concerning you the former behavior, the old man. So lay aside that former behavior. Lay aside that old person, is what he's saying. So Romans chapter 6, someone want to read 3 through 7. Okay, so when we're immersed into Christ, we are killing the old man. We're crucifying the old self in verse 6, knowing that our old self was crucified with him, and the body of sin might be done away with. The old behavior, the old man is dead. And that's what he's saying. Hey, lay aside that. Hey, knowing that we walk in the truth and we've been taught correctly, hey, lay aside the old man. If we're not going to walk that the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, being ignorant in their heart, being hard in their heart, and given over to themselves over to sensuality, it's not going to happen if we don't kill the old man. Romans chapter 2, or Colossians chapter 2, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse 11 and 12, please. Colossians chapter 2.
And in him you were also circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in immersion, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Okay, we talked about circumcision a couple weeks ago, I think, and talking about what that is. It's the circumcision of the heart. And he's talking there that, hey, that circumcision of the heart, what that is, that's the removal of the body of the flesh or the old person, the old man, that is sinful desire. We're putting to death. We're laying aside the old man. We're crucifying ourselves and being freed from sin. You know, and there, that's pictured as that circumcision of the heart, but that happens when we're buried in immersion into Christ. We're raised up through faith that we die to the old self and we resurrect to walk in newness of life. See, that's where it begins, but we also still have to, if you will, for maybe not quite a biblical phrase, but a biblical thought, we can't let the old man resurrect again. If we're going to walk not like the Gentiles in the speculations and the darkness of their mind, if the old man resurrects again, that's going to destroy us. The picture of the race that we're running in 1 Corinthians 9, when it talks about we're running the race, run like you're going to win, the guy we're running against is our old self. And whoever wins determines where we spend eternity. The old self versus the new self. Who are we going to give into? We're going to give back into the desires of the things that were buried, the things that were crucified. Or are we going to give back into that? Or are we going to keeping that old man dead and letting and growing in the new man? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So yes, that crucifixion of the old man starts at immersion. It happens in immersion. But unless we are proactive in keeping him dead, then we're going to fall back into where we were prior. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, please.
Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Okay, so the end, we're going to pop to the end, and then we're going to... The idea that Paul is getting here, we're taking every thought captive. Okay, and we talked a little bit about, I just mentioned that a little bit in the sermon, you know, when we're dealing with repetition, or we're dealing with cultism or whatever, the idea of their dumbing down your thoughts to get the person to ingrain their own belief into the person, okay? That all that does, I mean, that's the design of doing that. And really, another way that the religious world has kind of mimicked that is they've really kind of dumbed people down. Yeah, this is what we believe, and this is what you're going to say. And so it has two effects, whether you get the really dedicated ones or you get the ones who don't care. Because, you know, when they turn away from the Christian faith, supposed Christian faith, now we're not like Muslims and just go chop their head off. You know, we're not quite to that point yet. But that's what they do to them when they turn away. We're not to that point yet, so we have a little more freedom. People just, well, either they're completely dedicated to it or else they just don't even care about anything. And so that when you're talking about taking every thought captive, that's not having a repetitious doctrine pounded into your head by whatever the creed that the certain congregation or whatever has. That's a cultic practice. What Paul is talking here is about we are taking the thoughts captive. We are, you know, thinking, hey, what is, how do I think on this? Because that's really the only way to get it to genuine, it's the only way to get true faith anyway. I can't have someone else's faith. It has to be mine. And I have to take every thought captive and have to work through that. And what Paul is saying is we don't walk according to the flesh in verse 3. We don't war according to the flesh. What we're destroying is we're destroying these speculations and these things that rise up against God. These things that battle against our mind. And we'll get to this eventually in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about putting on the armor of God that can battle against the spiritual force of wickedness, and we'll get into that sometime. That's what he's talking there, is that we're taking every thought captive. I'm consciously making the thought, or in taking the thought captive, or either putting it out, or getting out of my mind if it's garbage, and dwelling on it or meditating on it, if you will, thinking about if it's good. And I'm making that choice, and that's how I'm going to be able to do that. It can't be someone pounding it in through repetition, because that doesn't sink in. Yeah, it might, you know, it might last for a while. Law lasts for a while, but eventually it putters out. And that's what you see it happen to the Jews. That style didn't last, because it was just something that they were doing. Turn back to Ephesians 4. Any comments on that before we move on? So Ephesians 4, go ahead, Kyle. You see the effects for sure, but it has to start from the inner man. But
and I think there's some things that we need to be repetitious about in order to teach us to do things. But I think the reason you do it is it would be from the scriptures, not from something else. And I think, you know, when we see different movements always talking about or using the means to justify the end. So basically, what you know, I think when when somebody wants to go to the wrong spot, they gotta sway from the truth a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to work on always, and we need to implant the scriptures into our mind. We need, but that has to work through repetition. That has to, and the habits we have to, you know, I think are done through repetition. But it's because we want to do them. It's because it's the right thing to do, because the scripture is based on them. You know? Mm-hmm. So there can be some kind of the same practices. It's just that we need to be on truth when we're doing it. You know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's completely true all the way around, but I think it's because you want to do it is the big deal. It's, mm-hmm. It isn't because you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, so the difference between meaningless repetition and habits you develop because you want to, with purpose, you know, and that word for meaningless repetition, it means like, I think it's like someone who is, let me just pull it up here, I had it marked here. What that means is like someone who's like a stammer, okay, so they're stammering. They're basically what a stammer is, with a sudden involuntary pause or a tendency to repeat the initial letters, like it's almost like a stutter, like they're just doing it, they're repeating something, and that's kind of what the word is. It's not talking about someone who has a speech problem. It's talking about applying that spiritually, where someone is just constantly repeating something with no meaning. But repetition or habit forming, on the other hand, like you mentioned there, is that's kind of what you're talking about there, is that there needs to be habit forming. We need to make effort and if you want to call it, be repetitious a little bit, to make that effort to build that habit. You know, so there is need in that. It's not a meaningless repetition. It's something that it's intent to build and to help build the character. And that's kind of what you're talking about there, I think.
And I think, as I've studied with different people, we studied with a Mormon a long time, and he didn't even know what they believed or why they believed most of the time, because it was repetition. It was brainwashing, basically, that they were taught. And sometimes he said, well, that can't be. So we'd go look at what their doctrine was, and that's what it was, you know. And it was the same. I studied with a real devout Lutheran not too long ago, for quite a while, and that was the same deal. It really kind of threw me back to see what they accepted and why they accepted it. Mm-hmm. And then when they were stumped, it was always, well, we have to go look at the creed or talk to the preacher, you know. And so, but it was the same as we went through every study with the Catholic card once, and that was the same thing. Mm-hmm. They were pounded on things that weren't true, and so they didn't know where they came from. Right. And I think that's really important for us to understand that if we don't put things build things on truth, then we're really in trouble. We need to be truth lovers is what we need to be, I think. And it's easy to get off that a little bit when you're going through things, you know. So it's important for us to understand that we need to be truth lovers, I think. Because that's what Jesus was, a truth lover.
Got you something?
Yeah.
Okay. So verse 23 of Ephesians 4. Yes, please.
And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Okay, so when he's talking, so we have learning Christ in the correct way, in the truth, not being darkened in understanding, but laying aside the old self and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's the habit, if you will, the bad habit can come back if it's only handled with law, and that, well, I'm just not doing that. Unless it's replaced with something, unless we're building the good character, the old man is going to resurrect and take over. Unless we're building the character and feeding the new man. Because the old man, you're feeding someone. You're feeding the new man, or you're feeding the old man. You're not on the fence just sitting in no man's land, okay? You're either feeding the old man or feeding the new man. And so if whatever one we feed is going to live, the one that we starve and is going to die. So when we're talking about laying aside the old self, and this is kind of why we've been kind of big here on looking past the cross, because the cross only deals with something that happens. Oh, my sins are forgiven, and I'm just, yes, Jesus did that. And he did it for everyone, and misuse of Scripture in that way will be used, because Jesus did do it for everyone, but it doesn't mean that someone doesn't have to be obedient to him. Yeah, the gift is provided for everyone to have, but people have to take, we have to take our, make our own initiative for that. And so if the old man is simply just killed, if you will, and we continue doing the practices, we're going to feed the old man and resurrect the old man. So the habit has to be replaced with something good. The bad habit has to be replaced with a good habit, and not a meaningless habit, but something with intent, something that's going to build the character of the person. So we talk about the renewing of the mind. Yeah, lay aside the old self, but be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So I'll read verse 2. Okay, so you think there, and sometimes we might just read the first part of that, which is not bad, the first half of the verse. But notice what it says. So first off, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. The transforming process is only going to happen if we're renewed in our mind. Okay, so yeah, the dying of the old self, the focusing only on forgiveness, is not going to transform someone. Okay, if somebody, let's just put this for an example. Okay, so and people use this as an example a lot when, you know, they talk about how rotten of a person that they were, and then Jesus saved them. So it's like the guy, picture yourself, they'll say, the guy, if you go into and there's a person on death row, and you go and you step in front of the gun and say that, well, I'm going to take the place of this person, instead of him dying, I'm going to die, and that's what Jesus did for you. I'm not saying that's not exactly, but if I go and step in front of a criminal that doesn't care about anything and I get killed and he doesn't change, what good was it? All it was is it just made him live longer to do the things that he did before. And that's what, when you only focus on the forgiveness part of it, and that's all that the religious world, a lot of the religious world does, and that's all it is, there's no change of it, that's exactly what it's like. You go and find someone on death row and go and sitting in the chair for him, and then they're going to continue doing what they're doing after that. There's no change of heart. And that's what that's like. So yes, Jesus, we were on death row, that's true, but the only way that Jesus has that sacrifice for us, and if you want to say that the only way that Jesus takes the penalty is if we're really accepting of it, if we're wanting to change. That's the only way it does any good. I mean, if we went and said, I'm going to go, you know, this guy's really repented, and, you know, I want to get, you know, it'd be great, and we go a step and, you know, take his place in the chair or in front of the firing line or whatever, and he changes, that's what, that change has to happen, though. It's not just simply just the death of something and you continue doing the same thing. The old man has to die. The new man has to be fed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. In the last part of verse 2 of Romans 12 there, that we may prove what the will of God is. So notice how that is. See, the religious world is focused on, well, the will of God is for you to be saved. And that's not necessarily completely wrong, but the will of God is proved after the transformation. The will of God is proved to the world after the transformation. So when it says that we prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, after we're transformed, or in the, if you want to say, as we're growing, we are proving and showing the character of God, because we are becoming conformed to his image and being like him to shine to the world. And that's like kind of what Kyle thought, that's how things change. People see that. And it will change physically in some cases for me because of the choices that I make, but also how people treat me too. That will change. Yes, you can.
I guess one of the things that I think I'm kind of getting straightened up, one of the things that confused me is that we're talking physical and spiritual, and when you're talking physical, the old man has to die, the new man comes in. He right. didn't change.
Yeah.
And he still limps and he still can't see mm-hmm. all those right. things. So the old man is still there. It's the mental part of it. The mental right. part drives the person.
Right.
And that is what has to change, the mental thinking. Mm-hmm. So looking at the guy, well, that's still the old man. So that's kind of what's confusing, mm-hmm. I guess, for a long time.
Right.
Okay. And thinking, well, because you look, well, that's the same guy. He hasn't changed right. with his actions and his thinking and his mind. And I think that's kind of, anyway, me, it's kind of what confused me was talking about the old man. I think, well, that's not really changed. It's the spiritual part that's
right.
changed, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. maybe something that I'm finally trying to get hold of.
Right. Well, that's true. It's like Jesus uses the Pharisees as an example in the opposite way, where they worried about how they looked on the outside, but their inner man was full of, like someone, like a tomb that was full of dead man's bones. You know, they were, that the outside of the cup was clean, but the inside of the cup was dirty. Inside of the cup was dirty. And so that's kind of, you know, they looked good physically. Well, that's the same man outside, but they're really full of wickedness, you know, versus the other way around. Like you say, if on a positive note, I mean, the one, you know, we look the same on the outside. We still have the limps. It's all the physical ailments, you know, and that will eventually change when Jesus returns, obviously. But if we don't change spiritually, then we're not going to get, you know, that change, obviously, eternally, you know. But that's what it is. It's the spiritual, like you say, you know, the spiritual version of that. The Spirit of God doesn't make us be able to do things physically better, as in jump or run or, oh, I can just go so much further now and have so much more energy because the Spirit of God dwells in me. But that's what you do kind of get that, though, from your Pentecostal movements. They do push that the faith, their faith, you know, if you have more faith, because you have the limp can or whatever, you must not have enough faith to have the Spirit. That's what they'll say, you know, something like that. You know, you didn't get healed because you didn't have faith that God could heal you. And so they view it physically, not an internal change. And so, yeah, there is people that do push that, for sure.
And I think that the verse in chapter 12 of Romans, the second verse there, talks about it's a process. You know, I mean, I think even when a guy is immersed, he might still have some physical habits that are not good yet.
Right.
It's a renewing. It's a process. It isn't. It don't zap. And I think that's what. I mean, and that's where I think we can. We're going to have similarities to a cult. We need to train our mind how to think the truth and do things. You know, and if we can train. You know, if we can transform our mind or renew our mind, I think that's. It's a process still. It just doesn't happen overnight.
So. Right.
It's like a child growing up. You know, they're going to continue to learn a few things, but until they get mature, they're not. They're still going to make kids' mistakes.
Right. Do you have something, Cal? Right. Yeah, and so let's go to Titus 3, and so this is where you kind of see where you see the and if you want to encapsulate a thought in one verse, which isn't all. I mean, there's more verses that go along with it. But we talked about the process and then the renewing. Yeah, you know, there is it someone's not zapped and oh, now they're renewed and then it's done. It's the transformed by the renewing of the mind. It's an intention, continuous intention of the person. But we'll see with the help of the Holy Spirit here as well. In Titus 3, someone read verse 5, please. Okay, so he hasn't saved us because we have broadened our phylacteries and said long prayers and said big words in the prayers to or gave alms and or fasted three times a month or whatever. Those things, giving and fasting and praying and memorizing scripture is not bad. Okay. And that's something that's how we're going to help being renewed. But he saved us on the basis of the washing of regeneration, and that's the immersion, the forgiveness of sins. And since we have the Holy Spirit, he's helping us renew. It's that the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're being renewed. If you were to, a lot of times in the scripture, the Holy Spirit is pictured as water. Okay, and so if you were to have a plant that's dying, and you put water on it, and the continuous watering of that plant, the plant grows, the plant flourishes, the plant gets bigger. If the watering doesn't happen, then the plant dies. And so that's that picture. The Holy Spirit is pictured as, a lot of times in Scripture, as water, as living water, as springs of living water. And so when Jesus says, he who believes in me has in himself springs of living water, which that is the Holy Spirit, which was going to be given after he ascended to heaven, that's that water that keeps growing, that keeps us growing spiritually. It's that's that picture there. And so there's the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's not just saving us from the sins. That's important, yes, but it doesn't stop there. You have to continue to water it. Okay, when you take the seed, you're not saving, you know, seeds on the ground outside. You pick it up. You're not just saving it from the birds, the squirrels eating it, but you're bringing in, you're planting it, and you're watering it so it grows. If all it does is you save it, bring it in, set it on the window. Pretty soon it's on the floor. You sweep it up and throw it back out again, and the birds eat it up. Okay, that's so it's not just the saving of it. There's that watering, if you will, the watering of the Holy Spirit or the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're changing that transformation process. It's not something that we're zapped with. It has to be taking every thought captive and making an intention ourselves. Not that God doesn't do it, but God doesn't do it against our will. God doesn't make us that way if we don't want to be that way. So we have to have intention in that as well. Larry. Because, you know, and that goes with reading or prayer, you know, like anything that, you know, you want to even say on the idea of taking every thought captive, if we're not consciously making a point of, if we're putting bad stuff in, that's the result we're going to have, you know. And so, and bad stuff can be, well, instead of, you know, I'm just going to scroll through Pinterest or Facebook or whatever instead of read my Bible, you know. And again, I'm not saying that every spare second you have to read your Bible. I mean, that's not what we're saying. But there's got to be that desire and that, you know. And it doesn't have to be, oh, I want to, you know, read the whole book of Matthew in 2 days or whatever. That's not what it has to be, because you're probably not getting anything there either, you know. So it has to be something that we are wanting, and that's how we're getting fed. There you go. It's all repetition.
All you're doing is reading it. Mm-hmm. You're not learning anything about it.
Right.
And so there's meaningless repetition.
Right.
So you can do something good that's meaningless repetition, even if in that sense, you know.
Right.
But so a big part of it, I think, is you have to actually read it as good, and something that I try to do still, because you can pick things up differently, you know. But like Larry's saying, you know, if you're just reading your Bible, you're still going to pick things out of it.
Right.
Reading intently, you just, you know, there was times in my life where there's one time.
anytime the scriptures, you're exposed to the scriptures, it's good. I don't care how it is.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, like, the average college graduate reads the, what, like 300 words a minute, I think? Something like that. I mean, I'm like 120. but I have a friend that's 18,000.
Yeah.
I mean, he's absolutely insane.
Right. Yeah.
But he can read 18,000 words a minute and graph stuff. They can just, like, gone. The guy's just absolutely crazy.
Right.
Smart.
Right.
But so we can all grasp things different, too. So everybody's different. And that's why, you know, we get asked sometimes, you know, like, about the rules that you got to have. You know?
Right.
And there's no rules. There's no. The rules were the old covenant. We had a set of standards, boom, 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 boom. The law of liberty and righteousness that we're under now in the new covenant, and putting on that new self, that righteousness that we are on the renewing of mind daily and all that stuff, is a spiritual thing that helps us, you know, have the intent rather than the letter. And that's a huge part of it. If it goes by the letter of the law, you're going to have those things, and you're not going to continue to grow. But if it's the intent of it, and you're actually intent in what you're doing, no matter what it is, you're going to get better at that.
Right. And yeah.
I think that's, if you're going to dumb down to one little thing, that's kind of what it is.
Right. And that goes back to, you talk about people being different. You know, some people can grasp, you know, 3 chapters a day or 10 chapters a day, or someone's 1 chapter a day, I mean, whatever it is. And when you go back to kind of what we're saying, is that when it's not on, okay, well, that person can read 3 chapters a day or 10 chapters a day and comprehend everything he reads or everything she reads, but I can't, well, they must be more righteous than me, and maybe they're in a little better setting with God. That's what he's saying. That's not how it is. It's the line, if you want to make the line, and you want to set, like, you want to call it a line, and you want to call it rules, is someone moving towards God or someone moving away from God? You know, and the way that's an individual, and that doesn't mean that I can't better myself where I'm at now and understand more scripture per day. You know, it doesn't mean I can't better myself or shouldn't try to, but the line that God is looking for, hey, are you moving away from me or are you moving towards me? And some people are here, and some people might look like they're here, and some people might look like they're here, but if they're moving towards God, they're on the right side of the line. If you want to call it a line, that's what he's talking about there.
And I think the scripture we just read in Titus chapter 3, it needs to be, you know, we need to look at that, renewing by the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing that we don't grasp all the time either. The Holy Spirit will help us do this stuff if we'll allow him.
Right, and that's where you talk about reading scripture too. You know, you're gonna, you know, the more you read it, and some you read it. Oh, I've read that before. You know, I've had people tell me that I've read it all the time, and it's not interesting enough anymore. Now I got to look outside. You know, well, maybe you're just the one who just was reading it by repetition, and it wasn't doing anything for you because you really all you were doing it is by rule. And so instead of reading it, like, in that way, if you're reading it searching, there might be something you might have read it a lot of times, and then you say, "Oh, I never really picked up on that before," you know. And that makes a pretty good point, and it makes you pop in the scriptures over here and talk about that renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is helping us through that, and that actually goes into the next verse in John 14. If you want to turn over there, John 14, where the renewing is by the Holy Spirit, or through the help of the Holy Spirit. Again, this all has to go on whether we give the command, if you will, or not. If we make the choice or not. And it's not about, well, I made the choice to do this and do that and say this many prayers and give this much money and fast this often or whatever. That's not what the choice is. It's the choice of whether we, you know, those things are all fine, again, but it's a choice of whether we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to help us grow and want to do that. John 14, 16 and 17. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, or the helper, the word, the Greek word for helper is parakletos, and that word means to called alongside to aid. Okay, called to one's aid is what it means. And so the Holy Spirit, the name given for the Holy Spirit, or that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, this parakletos, he is the one who is called to aid. Okay? Not just to completely do it for somebody. And that's where the religious world has at times even accused us of going back to works because of our stance on some things. But what they're doing is basically they have no choice in it. God saves because he saves. That's not how it is. The Holy Spirit is a helper. He calls along to aid. I sought to make the decision. Do I want to allow him to help me out? Do I want to serve him or not? Do I want to have Jesus as my Lord? I can call him Lord, Lord all I want, but if I don't obey what he says, he's really not my master. And so I have to make that choice. And the Holy Spirit is to help us. Yeah, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We're not saved because I'm able to do it by myself. He saves me, but he helps me grow. He doesn't just save, he helps me grow. And I have to make a conscious effort in that. I have to take every thought captive. I have to make the choice. It can't just be a meaningless chant or repetition saying that I'm just spouting off and then not even, it's not sinking in. It has to be a choice. Turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10. Okay, so this is a little bit, and touch a little bit on maybe what Ken mentioned before. So notice how this says here, so you're laying aside the old self, and you're putting on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So God, when he made man in his image, okay? And how I believe that is that God is consists of body, soul, and spirit, okay? We consist of body, soul, and spirit. You go to 1 Thessalonians 5, talks about that we have body, soul, and spirit. Okay, animals don't have they have a feeling, they have a body. They have if you want to call it a spirit or a soul, they have the life in them. But they don't have the inner person that mentally and logically thinks through things. They do things by sense. Okay, so they're not made in God's image. We are made in God's image, okay? So, but Paul talks about this here, that we are being renewed into the image. Well, we're already made physically into the image, and so obviously Paul's not talking about here a physical renewing, right? He's talking about we are being renewed into an image of Christ. We are being renewed into his character. We are being like him. We're being watered by the Holy Spirit, again, if that metaphor. He's growing the person, the new man, to be like Christ, to look like him. And that's where we talk about we're not practicing our righteousness before man, but men do know that. Jesus does talk about the world knowing that we're disciples of him through our actions, through loving of the brethren or whatever it is. They're going to be able to see it. We're a light shining on a hill, he talks about that. So yeah, we're not supposed to just be absent and people don't even know what we believe. I think probably if somebody's saying, there is probably people who have met you or whatever, and probably people even met me that might not know that where I stand spiritually or if I'm even spiritual at all. It was someone, an acquaintance. But if somebody close doesn't know that there's something different, then there's probably a problem. Because I'm just standing over in the corner, really not doing anything, not mentioning anything, that's probably a problem. That's not a light on a hill that we're supposed to be. So we are going to change into something. We're being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We talked about when the old man has died in 2 Corinthians 5, that we are new creations now. So we are created once in the image of God, yes, but now we are spiritually new creations because we've died to the old self and we are being renewed, the new man's being renewed to look like Christ, to mimic that, to put on that habit, or if you will, put on the character, be better, to look like him and be like him. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm not going to address all the Calvinist stuff today, but I just want to read this because of giving the picture here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, someone want to read that, please.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Wait, I take it back. I'm going to touch because I can't really go by it. So notice what he says is those he foreknew, those who God knew beforehand. And when he talks to verse 29 there, that he foreknew them. I mean, we got to understand God is not like us. I can't see the future. Okay? I mean, the best I could do is maybe predict that America's going to fall because of how we're going. I mean, there's maybe a little bit of evidence of that. That if we keep going how we're going to go. And stuff. I mean, you could maybe predict, get very lucky on some things. But what God's talking here is that those he foreknew. God, time is not limit God. God sees everything. So he sees things. God didn't prophesy how Jesus was going to die and then make the Romans do it. God saw what the Romans were going to do and he prophesied how they were going to treat Jesus. That's how that happened. Okay? God didn't make Pharaoh do this. He knew how he was going to act. Okay? And so God foreknew, in a positive sense, those he foreknew, those he knew who were going to be obedient, he predestined or he chose. Okay? To be conformed to the image. So those he foreknew, those who have the heart that want to be obedient, he chose them because they want to be obedient. And because of they want to be obedient, to be conformed to the image of his son. So we talk about we're being renewed to the one who created us. It's that new creature. I'm not going to look like Jesus physically, but spiritually is where the goal is there. We're going to be renewed to look like Christ, to have his character, to go past and not just stop with killing the old man, but be renewed and growing the new man and building the new man up. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Okay, so again, the outer man is dying. The shell is dying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. So the process is not something that happens in immersion. I mean, it starts there. The old self dies. The new self is being renewed and is born again spiritually. But that is it's a daily choice. I think two times is donuts next week if it's two times. By donuts. I think that's what he's used to it already. Anyway, so when the renewing, like, I'm not just renewed. Oh, I'm renewed today, and I guess I'm not being renewed. And I've done everything I can do now. That's not what it is. There's a continual choice that the outer man is decaying. The outer man is dying. The inner man is being renewed and growing. Day by day, but that does not mean that if we choose not to have that, then he's not growing. Okay? So we're being renewed day by day. It's a spiritual renewal. It's something that takes a conscious effort on our part. So there's a decision that we have to make every day in that renewing process. We're laying aside the old self, and we're being renewed to the image of Christ day by day because of our choice. Not because he just is doing it for us but because of our choice. He's our aid and our helper in that. And so that's when we're, that's how we're not going to fall back into walking how we used to walk. In the speculations, in the darkness, in our hardened of heart, away from the life in God. That's how we're going to prevent that. It's not that we're going to put up barriers and rules and make laws so that we don't do those things again, because that those things still slip by when you make a law. But when we do it because we want to and we have the law of liberty, we are doing it. That's why nobody who doesn't want to be a part of the church is not part of the church. Because the law of liberty. Because if you don't want to be a part of it, God's not going to make you. But if we want to be a part of it, God will gladly help us do that. Anybody have any comments before we close? Okay. Any other comments?
It's hard to argue with progress.
Yeah.
Does progress send us what's important? Right. If going backwards, it doesn't, progress is important.
Right. Okay, we'll pick up again in Ephesians. Well, not next week, 2 weeks, I guess. So, thank you.